Yeah, that's right. Amen. The guy out there, shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're glad they're here. If you ain't seen them in a while, tell them I'm glad to see you. If you have seen them just recently, tell them you're still glad to see them. Thank you. God is awesome. Yeah. Okay, I got you. Okay, go ahead. I got the other, okay? Watch your step. Don't step over me. Fellas, how many know a lot of times when I'm up here telling jokes, I pick on the women? Anybody ever notice that? Has anybody ever noticed that? Sometimes I pick on the women. Anybody ever notice that? Guys aren't raising their hands. I reckon not. Don't raise your hands. Well, you have to figure this out yourself. God is so good. All the time. Amen. God is so awesome to us. He's taking care of us and we're not taking care of him. He's taking care of business. Yes, amen. Let's see how this thing works here. See if I can remember. There you go. If my nose was running money, I'd blow it all on you, but it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. In the hospital the other day, there were some relatives gathered around in the waiting room. And where the family member was laying gravely ill, and finally the doctor came out looking tired and somber. I'm afraid I am a bearer of bad news, he said as he surveyed his worried faces. He said, the only hope left for your loved one at this time is a brain transplant. It's an experimental procedure, semi-risky, and you will have to pay for the brain yourself. How many here could use a brain transplant? The family member sat silent as they absorbed the news, after a length of time, someone asked him, well, how much does a brain cost? The doctor quickly responded, $5,000 for a male brain, only $200 for a female brain. Hear me out. Don't throw anything yet. The moment turned awkward. The men in the room tried not to smile, avoiding eye contact with the women, but some actually smirked. And a man, unable to control his curiosity, blurted out a question everyone wanted to ask, why is the male brain so much more? The doctor smiled at the childhood innocence and then to the entire group said, it's just the standard pricing procedure. We have to mark down the price of the female brains because they've been used. See there, ladies, I looked out for you. I could have said the male brains, you know, were 200, but I said, no, it's time to give the ladies a break. Amen. Amen. Before they break me. Amen. Get your Bibles out. I'm going to talk on a kind of it's going to be a two-parter at least, and the Lord just keeps talking to me about something. He keeps telling me something. And I have to just go ahead and say it today. This is the sermon about. Well, we'll talk about it in just a second. Let's get your Bibles out. Luke chapter 5. Stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 5. Now, when you see this, you're going to think I have lost my ever-loving mind. That's okay. You think it all the time anyway. Ready? Leaving Neverland. Before you, again, you got to hear it out before you think that I've lost my ever-loving mind. My head's full of stuff, but it's still got some brains in there. This stuff's just keeping it from my brain from shifting. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. You got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say oh me? All right. Just look in front of it. It should be one on the pew in front of you. If you don't, share with the person beside you or just take it out of their hand. Don't do that. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Somebody say, you're through. They were through. And he entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for all that you do for us, Lord. I thank you, God, that we're never alone, that we always have you by our side, that we're never in this thing by ourselves, although sometimes we feel like it. And Lord, right now, you showed me this morning on the way up here, and we're going to do it right now. That's all together. We're going to invite God's presence in a very powerful way and in an unusual way this morning as we finish this prayer. Everybody together, say it with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Isn't God awesome? On the way down, give somebody a high five, low five, no five, four and a half, four and a quarter, whatever you got, give it to them. Now today we're talking about leaving Neverland from excuse to use. Now, this is not Neverland where Michael Jackson was. This is not Neverland where Peter Pan was, although Satan would love to keep you from growing in the Lord. This is a whole different thing. And what the nevers that I'm going to talk about wind up being excuses, and the excuse keeps you from being used. And so I want you to see this as it's all kind of just was playing around in my head and bouncing back and forth. And so let's just give this a shot this morning. Amen. So here we go. Too many people in the church, listen carefully. Too many people in the church world live in Neverland. I'm not talking again. I'm not talking about Michael Jackson. I'm not talking about Peter Pan. I'm talking about a place that Satan wants to keep you concealed and keep you hid in, because it's in this place called Neverland that he constantly tells us, watch this, things like we'll never measure up, we'll never be good enough, we'll never break from my past, never know enough, we're never talented enough, our marriage will never make it, my Christian life, I will never be able to stand. Never, 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 never. Do not raise your hand, but how many right now know that I'm talking to you right now? Do not raise your hand. Amen. How many have told, just heard this week, Satan, he's told me this week, many times when there was an obstacle coming my way, you'll never measure up, you'll never be good enough. When something happens that was scarred from my past, you say you never beat the past. There's all kinds of things. He tells all of this every day. Never, 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 never. He wants us to live in Neverland, because if we'll live in Neverland, then we'll have so many excuses that we'll never try. Get it? Never try to do what we're supposed to do. But matter of fact, Peter, he was in Neverland in more than one way. He was in Neverland because you'll never catch any fish. You might as well go ahead and clean your nets. And of course, he's also hearing this when Jesus starts to call him. Satan saying, you can't do what Jesus has called you to do. So again, he was living in Neverland. How do we leave Neverland? How do we get beyond the cries in our heart, the constant cries, you'll never be good enough, you'll never make this, you'll never understand this, it'll never sink in, you'll never do what you're supposed to do, you'll never get it right, you know that you're going to mess up again and again, you'll never, 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 never. Some of y'all in here have heard never so much, you think it may be your first name. Never, never, never. It's time to leave Neverland. It's time to get beyond the pain. It's time to get beyond the injury. Well, you've been too injured, so you'll never be able to use the God again. You'll never get beyond this hurt in your heart. You'll never get beyond this scars in your mind. Never, 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 never. How do we leave Neverland? Somebody asked me that. I'm glad you asked me that. Y'all asked me at the perfect time because I'm going to tell you. Amen? First thing, let's watch this. Remember, look, my computer's acting crazy, so just don't pay no attention to it. I'm going to have to get another one this week. This one has lost its ever-loving mind. The man told me, this brain is too full. It's a stream. The brain is too full. He said, you got too much of your schoolwork in it. It won't work. So this one is a never. Amen. So, how do you leave Neverland? Number one, I want you to remember who you are. Everybody has an identity. Everybody in this church has an identity. All right? Every last one of us. And we all ask these same questions, every last one of us. Or it might not be in the same order. It might not be in the same way. But we all ask these questions to ourselves all the time. Number one, who am I? Think about it. I'm not talking about somebody else asking you that. It's in you. Who am I? Where did I come from? Let me tell you something. My parents were David and Phyllis Linton, but I did not come from David and Phyllis Linton. I came from the Heavenly Father. I came through David and Phyllis Linton. Amen? I came through David and Phyllis Linton. They're my beloved parents. I love them dearly. But I came from God. Amen? So look, where am I going? And why am I here? So again, so how am I going to leave Neverland with these questions? Watch this. Here it goes. Here it is. Again, wake up, computer. Praise God. All right. I am a child of the King. Remember, Phyllis and Dave were my mom and daddy. I came through them, but I actually came from God. All of y'all came from God. Did you know that? I am a child. So I say I'm a child of the King. Look at somebody beside you and say, you're a child of the King. You came from God. Say it. You came from God. You're going back to God. And along the way, I am going to make a difference. Every day, it never fails. Every day, multiple times a day. Even though Bethany's been gone since November 17th, it's like I got her right with me because everywhere I go, I went to the hospital to the emergency room in Greenville yesterday, and the guy behind the desk wanted to know where my daughter was. And after we told him, he said, that girl had made such a difference in my life. I just want you to know that. I didn't even know he knew her. I go to the doctor's office, and the nurse will say, or someone will say, we've heard about your loss. We're sorry. Someone even asked. I asked somebody in Walmart just the other day, this lady was having problems with aneurysms in her brain, and she used to be a very powerful preacher. And so I looked at her and I said, you see this right here? God's got this. Team Bethany says, yes. I said, here. And I took it off and put it on her arm. And then she stopped and said, well, how is it? Tell Bethany. I said, thanks. How is she doing? And I said, she died. Her husband was behind me and went, he said, that brain aneurysm is messing up her memory. I said, it's okay. I'm not offended. Praise God. I'm not offended. It's okay. You know, but still, everywhere I go, I find out that Bethany made more of a difference than I even thought that she was making. Amen? We can all, every last one of us, every day can make a difference in somebody's life. We're all here to make a difference. Amen? God didn't set you here to take up space. God didn't plant you here to not have any fruit. He wants you to know who you are. So now, watch this. I love this. And here it is. She's gone crazy again. Neverland is where I can't even read it. Praise God. Whatever it says. Look, Satan desires to keep you locked in Neverland. Because if he can, he will create in you a spiritual identity crisis. But I'm here to tell you something. It's time to rise up and take back your identity. It's time to rise up and let God use you all over again. Let's just talk about Simon Peter. If there's anybody lived in Neverland, here it is. Watch this. God can never use you. Let's look at Simon Peter here. Ready, old Simon Peter? Let's come on up here. Simon Peter lived in Neverland. He was brawny. He was boisterous. He was impulsive. He was a common man. He was a fisherman. He was also known as Simon, the reed. So watch this. He was brawny. Anybody here brawny? Anybody here rough? Don't point at anybody. Anybody here impulsive? Anybody here, would you consider yourself common, that God couldn't use you? And then on top of all this, his name was Simon, which means a reed, which means that he was pushed back and forth, back and forth. Every wind of doctrine, everything come by, he was pushing one way or the other, blown back and forth with the winds of adversity, blown back and forth with the winds of opinion, blown back and forth. And so if there's anybody that lived in Neverland, it was Simon Peter. Watch this now. This is happening to us today. Right now, I want you to think about this. I want you to see this. It's going to make a difference in your life. I'm not going to keep you long. I want you to see this. I want you to pay attention to this. Very first thing. Watch this. Oh, here it goes. Satan cries, "You will never." Watch this. Yet Jesus sees our potential. The very first thing in John chapter 1, after he called him, he said, "You know what? Your name is a Simon, a reed, blown by the winds of public opinion, shaken by the belief." He says, "But you know what? Jesus looked beyond what he was at that time." I'm so glad God looked beyond what I was when he found me. I was not looking for God. Some of y'all may have come in here and grabbed the horns of the altar and said, "God, I'm not leaving until I get saved." That was not me. I was grabbing the horns of the bar and God was dragging me out. Oh, come on, y'all. Some of y'all, like y'all ain't never been anywhere. I was having too much fun in the world, but God kept pricking my heart and kept pricking my heart. And the more I tried to run, the harder my heart pricked. And eventually I couldn't take it anymore, and I had to give it over to God. And so when I did give it over to God, I had a contrite spirit. I no longer enjoyed the stuff I used to enjoy. I didn't like it anymore. Something had to be done. God was speaking to me. God was hunting me down. He put the hounds of heaven on me. They were catching me every place I turned. And God got his hands on me. So watch this. Jesus saw something more in Simon Peter. He said, "You know what? Your name is Simon, a reed. I'm going to change your name to Rock." I'm not talking about the Rock from professional wrestling either. Okay. The one who would be strong, steadfast in his loyalty to Jesus, in his commitment to the call of God in his life. His journey with Jesus was one of being transformed from a reed to a rock. Do you know that every last one of us are in a transformation? None of us at this moment are what we're going to be. There's more coming. Thank God for that. I thank God that what I am right now is not what I'm always going to be. There's more coming. As we grow in God, as we grow in grace, as we begin to see Him and seek His Word, and His Word builds up in us, we begin to grow and grow. And I sat back and I look, and I had somebody just the other day told me, said, "You know, I don't see that same when people were doing wrong that you back then in you now." And I said, "Well, you know what?" I said, "I can beat somebody up. That's fine. But if I beat them up, it's not going to work. If I beat them up, it's only going to run them away." I said, "I've learned to let God handle it. I've learned to back off and let God take care of things. I've learned to sit back and watch God work." You see, God searches Neverland. He's always searching Neverland. And watch this. Oh, there he is. He's searching for you right now in the middle of this crazy computer. Come on, computer, wake up. I took it to I took it to the Geek Squad. And the geeks looked at it and said, "I must have been hanging around with Steven." Stephen brought him a computer that they couldn't even look at, couldn't even work on it. It must have come from the Lost in Space or somewhere. The Fantastic Voyage. I don't know where he got his from. But they looked at it and they said, "You know what?" Said, "You got too much on this thing. You can't do schoolwork anymore. You how many semesters have you been?" I said, "I've been through 2 or 3 years." They said, "It's not going to make the fourth year. You're going to have to get rid of it." I said, "Okay, we'll give it a burial." Amen. I said, "Can I have another weekend just to part with it with tears?" He said, "Okay. So y'all say goodbye to it now, because it won't be here next week. Bye, computer." Amen. So watch this now. A fisherman was a common man. Watch this. And Jesus was known as Rabbi. I want y'all to think about something. I want you to listen carefully. If you were a Jew, and your parents would name what your occupation was going to be, and then they would help you all the way up with that occupation. If you were going to be a doctor, wouldn't you be a doctor? They'd put you with doctors and let them nurse you, so to speak. Kind of a pun, but nurse you in medicine. If you were going to be a carpenter, they'd put you with a carpenter. And if they wanted to put you as a rabbi or put you in with the Sanhedrin when you got older, they would seek out a rabbi for you. You didn't do it. They sought the rabbi out for you. And once they sought the rabbi out for you, then they would get this rabbi to take you under his wing, and they would even pay him to take care of you, to train you to be a rabbi. So you didn't have a whole lot of choice in it, and the parents would save up and seek that rabbi. But you know what? Here's what's so cool here. Not so with Jesus. He sought out his followers. They weren't seeking out him. He sought them out. And he's no respecter of persons. I love it. He told the Pharisees, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering into the kingdom of God ahead of you. Wow, that's a very powerful thing. And so God's searching Neverland now. I'm getting ready to say something. Please do not get upset. Get ready. Get ready. We're going to have a good time here if this computer lasts out. Okay. There are three great lessons. And I'm getting ready to close. Number one, Jesus initiates the search. God is searching for us. Jesus loves us just as we are. If I could tell you how many people, as I talk to them about coming to God, they say, let me get better before I go to him. That's like coming to a man that's got his arm cut off and say, oh, let me finish bleeding out before I call 911. Can you imagine that? Somebody's bleeding out and you're trying to get them some help, and they go, wait till I finish bleeding out before you call 911. No. He takes us just like we are, and he does something with us, and he uses it for his glory. He doesn't change our personality. No, he doesn't. What he does is he uses that personality. So now, here we go. And everybody, every one of us has got a personality. Some of us have a wonderful personality. Some of us have a personality. Amen. I met a few of them last night in Greenville. Amen. Some were awesome, and some just had a personality. Amen. How many want to be used by God? Y'all get ready. Do not throw anything at me right now. Get ready. I'm going to tell you what God uses. Ready? I've done this before years ago. Watch this. God uses fat people. Back up. God uses fat people. Did you know that? I told you, don't hit me. Get ready. Y'all got real quiet. Nobody's even saying anything. Watch this. Watch. Fat people are first faithful. F, fat, faithful. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back my soul, shall I have no pleasure in him. So he wants somebody that stands strong in the faith and moves forward. F. A. Available. Isaiah 6 and 8 said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying unto me, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, Lord, send me. And he wants somebody that's teachable. Proverbs 16, 18, pride goes before destruction, and the haughty spirit goes before the fall. Now, over the years, I've seen a lot of faithful people. I've even seen faithful people that are available. But the hardest one is to be teachable. How many's met somebody that's a know-it-all? Again, don't point. How many's ever met anybody that's a know-it-all? There's a difference in being a go-to guy and being a know-it-all. A go-to guy is somebody that's very, very talented in certain areas, or maybe all areas. You go to them first to ask them what they think. My daddy is a go-to guy. He might not know all the answers, but I can tell you he thinks about this stuff and he can lead you in the right direction many times. My daddy's like that. My brothers are like that. They're go-to guys. I love when I'm having some kind of situation, I can go to any of those and they'll help me through that. There's a lot of the go-to guys in this church right now. I go to you. I talk to you, you know, and bounce things off of you because you're go-to guys. But know-it-alls, you kind of don't want to be around them because they won't even let you finish the sentence. You already know the answer. You know, if I go to the doctor and he goes and starts telling me before he ever even examines me good what's wrong with me and him are not going to get along good because I never had a chance to tell him what actually was going on with me. He's already assumed by just on the looking on the sheet what's wrong with me instead of evaluating me. So, God, I ask God this all the time, God, help me be faithful. Help me be available. And Lord, help me be teachable. Because you know what? It's what you learn after you know everything that counts. God, I need you. You see, Neverland is never level. It keeps you off balance. And it's built on lies. BJ, come on up here. Listen to me. Neverland is never level. It's built on lies. And it will keep you off balance. I worked with a guy at Fountain that he got things accomplished, but Lord knows, his people stayed in the uproar, and there was a constant battle going on, and there was just, he had to micromanage the whole thing. And so I asked him, I said, what kind of training are you getting into to show you how to be a manager? And so I can't think of the exact words right now, but he had this book, and I'll just cut it short. I can't think of the exact words of the name of this book, so don't look this book on Amazon because you won't find this book title, but this is just a cut to the chase version of the book. Managing through confusion, or managing by confusion. His guys never knew what they were doing. They never knew because the target was always moved. He kept his guys off balance. They were always at each other's throat. And I began to talk to him. He said, it seems like your team's got it together. They're doing things. They're saving the company money. They're going, going, going. They're happy. They're just having a wonderful time. Things are getting done. People love to be around your group. People can't stand my group. What is the difference? And I said, well, one thing is your philosophy, leading through confusion and leading by confusion, whatever that word was. I said, because nobody ever knows what they're doing. They don't know where to go, what to do, how to get there. And when I started working on this sermon this week, I was immediately taken right back to that conversation. And so I showed him some leadership things and showed him some skills that I was using and showed him some stuff that I was using. And I was describing how we got along and how we had good targets, good goals, and we had teamwork. And every morning we actually even opened up with devotions at times. It was amazing in that engineering group what was going on. And he said, you mean conflict and confusion is not the way to go? I said, well, let me ask you a question. Is it working for you? He said, no. I said, well, look at what's happening over here. I said, I'm not bragging at all. I'm going to brag on the goodness of God because this is a God thing over here. I said, that's a man thing. This is a God thing. The same way. Neverland is built on lies. Can't keep your target. You never know where you're going. You're always off balance. It's time. And we'll finish it next week. It's time to quit listening to the never lies. It's time to quit living in Neverland. It's time to be stepped up and used effectively for God. God is awesome, and He's looking for some people to step beyond Neverland, to step out of Neverland. Quit listening to all those lies that's kept you off balance for so long, and move forward. Everybody stand. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I just want to ask you, be honest with yourself and with God. Nobody looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you be honest with yourself and say, you know what? I'm living in Neverland. Or I happen to stay there. I have an apartment there and stay there on the weekends. Or I go there from day to day and stop in for a while and relax. But I keep being affected by Neverland. And I'm asking God to help me with it while nobody's looking around. Every eye's closed. Would you raise that hand and say, Neverland is really affecting me and I can't stand it. God's got this. God has got this. I want you to repeat after me, everybody. Father, I love you. I praise your name. And I thank you for your grace and your mercy, which is all built on truth. And God, I thank you for exposing Neverland and letting me know I don't have to live there. I don't even have to drive through there because you have given me truth. I can be on balance. I can be level. I can have targets. I can have goals. I can meet them through you right now. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the never lies. I move from Neverland. I give myself and base my life on your truth in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you have a need from God right now, come on up here. You have a need, we'll pray for you. You want prayer? Come on up here, whatever the need may be. Can I spend some time at the altar? God's awesome all the time. Yes. God is calling us in this last day to rise to the new standard that He's put in our life, to a new stretch. God has something so special for us. I don't want to miss what He's got for me because I'm living in Neverland. Don't forget, coming up in the next few weeks, we're going to start working over on the other building over here on Tuesday nights on depression. And as soon as we can, it may wind up being after the Emmaus walk. we'll start over there with the Mass Walk is in April. We'll start over there with the drug rehab. And I think it's so awesome. Did you say that Brad's going on a Bethany Linton scholarship, which is cool. And it's going to be on her birthday. So Emmaus is going to be on her birthday. The Sunday when they all get their crosses and everything, Bethany, it's going to be Bethany's birthday. And although Bethany's not here, number one, she's already met her goal with Team Bethany. And although she's not here with us in body, she's still sending people to Emmaus. And that's awesome. And as far as I hope, we just keep sending people for as long as we can, for years to come, in Bethany's honor, because Bethany loved it so much. Like I told y'all, her one last thing she was doing while she could still talk, I come by her room, and she was singing that song we sing at Candlelight. And we sang it at her funeral. She was just humming it and singing it. And I come in the room, I thought some Emmaus people were in there. I didn't know what was going on. It was Bethany. She was just singing and praising the Lord. And it was just a matter of hours. She wouldn't be talking anymore. And so so one last thing she did that you could hear was that Emmaus. And I thank God that she had a heart for ministry and had a heart for people. And it always shows. Every place I go, I hear about her heart for people and her heart to see people one to God. Stretch forth your hands this way. We're not going to bother anybody in the altars. Let them stay right there. Matter of fact, if somebody can, y'all just come on up and gather with them in the altar, but we're going to dismiss right now in prayer. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you're alive and well and on the throne, Father, and we know, God, that you've got all things under control. Lord, help us, Father, to step past Neverland, to leave that place behind us, far behind us, and to go forward into truth, be guided by truth and by mercy and by grace. We know, God, you're in control, and we know, God, you got this. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.